Open your Bibles, please, tonight to Psalm 81. I'm glad you're here tonight. You may have not known that it was going to be me, but oh well. There's so much I would like to say and should say, but there's just never enough time. And you're here on a Thursday night, and it's already after 8:30, and I don't want to put anybody to sleep, and I don't want anybody to be mad at me for keeping you up too late, but I probably will anyway. All my good intentions usually don't work very well, but I'll try. I do want to thank everyone for all the hard work that's gone in this week and feeding us today. Well, you were here today, you missed out on a real meal. Wow. Brother Robert cooked some mean ribs today. I'll be dreaming about those for a long time, Brother Robert. Anyway, the fellowship has been great, and we thank all of you for the food, and it's just been good fellowship. I thank the Lord for this church. I've said it probably many times, and I'll just keep saying it. I don't know where I would be had it not been for this church. I was saved at a young age, but I grew in this church. I actually matured in this church. Before I came to this church, I didn't know much about anything. I wasn't very old, but still, I don't know where I'd have ended up had I just gone the way of many people in this country that just don't have good churches and don't know the Bible well. But I learned the Bible here, and I learned how to grow up and learned how to become a man. And I'm just thankful for everyone in this church. And some of you have known me from the beginning, and you put up with a lot from me probably as a young man, not knowing much. But I'm just thankful for the opportunity I had to be with great men. I'm thankful for a godly wife that stuck with me for 32 years, through down the mountains and up the mountains of Mexico and across the ocean to Poland and learning two languages. And I'm just thankful for it. I can't thank the Lord enough for a godly woman to be by my side all the way. And it's just been a blessing. It's been a great adventure. And I hope it's not over yet. I just keep hoping for more adventure, more victories, more just more of the same. I'm thankful for godly parents and taught me the Bible and taught me hard work and honesty and just the simple values that maybe we take for granted. But you look out today and you shouldn't take these values for granted because they're getting pretty rare. If you have parents at home that love you and care for you, you better thank God for it because it's becoming a commodity. I do want to also thank this wasn't supposed to happen. Wow. I don't think I've ever done it before, and I should have a long time ago, but if I haven't, I want to thank you, Bill, for asking me to go to Leon. If you don't know what's going on, don't worry about it. It's a long story, but it's a lot better now. Can I just keep laughing? It'll be easier. Anyway, that was a life-changing experience for me to be with you. And God just, I think Debbie agrees, God just opened doors for us. And we were just tickled pink to be in just part of something so amazing. And if you have not been to Leon, you have missed out on a blessing. I mean, just anywhere in Mexico, but man, Leon was just, that was a crazy place. But I just want to thank you for the opportunity I had to be with you there and all that I learned from you. Anyway, let's get going. All right, Psalm 81. Psalm 81, I want to read verse 8 through 10. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Well, the first thing I want to bring out tonight is that there is a need. Generally, we all have needs. I mean, if you have any brains at all, you know you are a needy person. The first time you get really, really sick, you realize you have needs. You're not as strong as you think you are. The first time your car breaks down seriously, you're not as good a mechanic as you think you are. And the first time you have problems in your home with your marriage or your children or whatever, you realize you are not as strong and as capable and as self-sufficient as you think you are. We all have needs. And if you don't know where you're going to spend the rest of eternity, you have a pretty big need too. And you have the biggest need of everybody. You need a Savior. You need to be reconciled to God. You need to have your sins forgiven. Now, there are needs. We have great needs. And so, God is trying to tell us from the beginning of our life until the end how needy we are. And sometimes we just don't get it. Some of us are just too stubborn to admit that we're not so strong, that we're weak and we're helpless and we're foolish and we're make bad decisions and we're just needy people. But you know, there's also other needs that we want to address, especially this week. And we heard about it just a few minutes ago. I'm not sure I can even top what was spoken about a few minutes ago, is the need of the gospel in places like Turkey. I mean, imagine places that don't have Bibles. Imagine places where you cannot turn on your radio and hear a gospel message. As weak as you may think it is in this country, try somewhere else. Well, you don't have a chance to even hear anything. Jesus said that the laborers are few, right? So there's a need for laborers. There's a need for laborers on your street, in your job, in your city. There's a need for laborers in this church. I mean, right? You can't tell me that everybody walks through those doors is already saved. I hope not. We hope to get people in that don't know how to be saved, and they want to know. Well, someone needs to help them find the truth. There's a need for laborers all over the place. You can't go anywhere in this world and not realize that there's a need for laborers. But this text tells us that there was a need because they had enemies. Looking down to verse 14, God said, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. And then it talks about the haters of the Lord. So the people of Israel had a need because they had enemies. They had enemies trying to always seduce them, lead them astray, persuade them to go and follow their strange gods. And that's another need that we have. We have a need to fight against the enemy who's trying to tell us, even this week, and it's already Thursday, so if you've been here every night, then no doubt if you have any spiritual bones in you, that the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, you need to be doing something, and that the enemy is telling you, no, don't worry about it. It'll get done somehow. There's time, right? Maybe later. The enemy is trying to tell you, we can't send any more missionaries. I mean, how many do we have already? I haven't counted them, but I think I can safely say that we've had more in the field at one time than we have now. I'm not positive, but hey, what do you mean we can't send any more? The devil, we sang the song tonight. It's been sung in this church probably since the very first mission conference. Then there's a giant of unbelief who tells us we cannot do it. We cannot send mission. You know, there are churches all over this country that don't invest a single dollar in foreign missions. And forget about sending one of their own missionaries. That is so far from their thinking, they can't even imagine it. They can't make the step to send a little bit of money to a missionary in another country. And you might think, well then, let's let them do it. After all, Brother Mike said, we needed equality, right? We've done our fair share. I don't think that's what the equality Brother Mike was talking about. In fact, when I read the New Testament, I read that God is pretty demanding. I mean, He says several times, I want you to increase more and more. I want you to do more. It's good that you're doing it, but hey, what else can you do? And the devil says, no, you've already done your fair share. You don't need to do any more. I mean, after all, how much can you do? Well, that's what I want to tell you tonight. So, we have a need. We need Polish evangelists. We need Turkish evangelists. We need American evangelists. We need people on the street. We need soul winners. We need people out there concerned about souls. We have a need. And the devil says, no, we can't do it. But I also want to show you that we have a great supplier. In verse 10, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God. You know, I don't even think that he had to say, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. It's just kind of like extra. In case you didn't get it the first time. I am the Lord thy God. Amazing that God would actually claim to be our God. Oh, man. That's humbling, isn't it? Why would he want to be our God? Well, I don't think it's because we're such a great people. Are so generous, or so loving, or so praising. He's just good.
Amen.
He's just good. I am the Lord thy God, a great supplier. You have a great need. And if I give you a piece of paper tonight, you could probably make a long list of all your needs. And probably a lot of them would be kind of silly and kind of carnal and kind of physical. I hope a few of them would be spiritual needs. But whatever it is, whatever needs this church has, whatever needs we have in this conference this week, I'm telling you, we have a great supplier. It is the Lord our God. It's not Chase Bank. It's not the IRS. It's not your tax return. It's not your new job. It's the Lord our God. And in case you didn't get it, it says, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. As Brother Mike said, remember those days? Remember Egypt? Remember how it was in Egypt? Yeah, we remember. And sometimes we even in our stupidity think, yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't have to go to church every single Sunday. I didn't have to be at church on a Thursday night at 10 minutes till 9, listen to somebody screaming at me. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I kind of like those days. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
Amen.
That's who we're talking about, the supplier. Hey, in case you've forgotten, salvation was no small thing. Getting out of Egypt was no small feat. I mean, look what God did with His mighty arm. It wasn't Moses got Him out of there. It wasn't the local pastor that got Him out of there. It was God that got Him out of Egypt. I brought thee out of Egypt with a mighty arm, he said. Well, sometimes you forget how it was, as was also already brought out tonight. They had forgotten that they had been brought out of captivity, right? And they were just busy building their own houses. And they didn't give up what God wanted them to do. And we forget how bad it was in Egypt. And we forget how God just took us out of Egypt and with his mighty arm and gave us deliverance and total liberty in Christ and forgiveness of sins and peace in our heart and a joy in our heart, something to live for, something to die for. And we say, oh, well, but now what? What can he do now? We can't send any more missionaries. I can't preach the gospel. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to witness to somebody one-on-one. I can't go door knocking. I mean, come on. No, there's no way. Because we forget that the supplier is the one that took us out of Egypt. And so, what does he say here? He gives us some conditions. Now, we don't like conditions, do we? When we have a need, we just want it to be fulfilled. We don't want anybody to say, now, if you'll do this, no. Skip that part. Just take care of my problem. Right? I mean, if you've got some financial problem and you go to a financial advisor, he'll probably say, well, you know, first thing you need to do is cut out all this eating out and Starbucks and credit cards. And no. Just give me some solution that's easy. I don't want all the conditions. I just want an easy out. Well, God didn't do that. God gives you some conditions. And he says here, if you want to have your need met, if we want this church to do something for God, if we want God to do something with us, God gives us some conditions here. And look in the verse, it's going to be in verse 9. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Yeah. If you weren't here last night, you should have been here last night. Because you would know exactly what I'm going to get at right now. The gods that Americans serve. God says, no more strange gods. And in case you don't understand, strange doesn't mean weird gods. And this means not the right ones. It means foreign gods, not the genuine God, not the true God. It means whether it's money, or whether it's your career, or whether it's your pleasure, or whether it's drugs, or whether it's whatever it may be. The things that keep you from serving God. You remember what Jesus said about God and mammon? You know what he said? You think he said that it's hard to serve God and mammon? He didn't say it, did he? Did he say you shouldn't serve God and mammon? No. What did he say? He says you cannot serve God and mammon. That's a lot stronger. You can't. It can't be done. You're going to serve one or you're going to serve the other. You got to make up your mind. If you think you can serve both, then I can guarantee you one thing. You're not going to be serving God. There's no way. Now, maybe if you try serving both, you'll do a pretty good job serving mammon, but you'll do a lousy job serving God. God demands total service. Total submission to him. Total worship. Everything. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he says here, first of all, what you need to do is get rid of all your strange gods. Get rid of all the things that are hindering you from serving God completely. You say, you mean I have to get rid of my television? Well, if you watch it on Sunday morning instead of being here, definitely get rid of it. If you don't have enough gumption, enough backbone, enough strength of character to turn off that stupid television when it's time to go to church, yes, take a big hammer and Destroy this stupid thing. I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm telling you, find out what is keeping you from serving God 100% and get rid of it. It may be your TV. It may be your hobby. It may be the things you like to read, the things you like to play with. It may be your computer games. It may be, I don't know what it is. Use your imagination. You've got one. Think about it. Put away the strange God, he says. But then he says, we're going to read now verse 10. The second part. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. We like that part. I will fill it. Yes. Fill it. I'm ready. But that's God's part. He says here, open thy mouth wide. So, first of all, you need some faith. You need some faith in that God can do what he says he'll do. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in his harvest. So God can do it. It's not that God can't. He delivered you out of Egypt. He saved your soul. He forgave your sins. He changed your life. He can send somebody else. He can raise up somebody else. He can send you. Have a little bit of faith. The problem we have is we lack faith. And Jesus said that it says I think it's in the book of Matthew, it says that he couldn't do very many miracles because of their unbelief. Yeah. And so faith is necessary. You need some faith. You need to have a little bit of faith that God can do what he has promised to do. That God is able to do what he says he can do. Yeah. That it's not just an ideal. It's God really can't. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, many years ago, probably no one, I shouldn't say no one, probably very few people thought that this church could send a couple, three or four missionaries full time. I probably think that even Brother Kincaid didn't think it could support this many missionaries that supports now full-time at one time. But probably if you ask us now, can God do it? We say, yeah, God can do it. But some people here, maybe you're new here, and you're thinking, what is this? What's going on here? Maybe this is your first meeting. I don't know everybody here in this room, but if this is your first time, hey, we are serious about taking the gospel all over the world if we can. And we believe that God can do it. Amen. But sometimes we get weak in our faith because of our circumstances, because of the economy, because of the idolatry in our heart, or the things that get us away from God, and we begin to forget that God really is interested and God still can do it. Open thy mouth wide. You need some faith. Well, you also need some action. He says, open thy mouth. Now, remember, God wants you to believe. You know, God didn't say, you have a need, and so I'm going to fulfill it. God doesn't necessarily bless your needs. I mean, a lot of people have needs. God didn't always bless it. So you have a need, but do you have any faith that God can do something about it? Because if you don't, God probably isn't too interested in taking care of your need. Because when he gives it to you, you're not going to realize where it came from. But if you have a bit of faith in what God can do for you and use you to reach somebody else and use you to send somebody else, use you to send maybe one of your own family members, have some faith. And when God does it, instead of being bitter about it, you'll praise him for it. Amen. But he says, open your mouth. He didn't just say, you have a need, so just sit there when I'm going through, I'll take care of it. No, he says, open your mouth. Open your mouth. So you need some action. You need to do something. You need to pass out some tracts, maybe. How hard can that be? Maybe take some in your pocket and pass them out when you're shopping or getting gas. Or I know it's getting more and more difficult to meet people because everything is so electronic and automatic and you don't hardly meet people anymore. But hey, try to meet some people and give them a gospel tract. Try to go to your neighbor. Try to go to your co-workers and try to do something. You have there's a need out there, people needing the gospel. How is it going to be met? You have to open your mouth. You have to start talking. You have to start preaching. Maybe just go with somebody. I know. At the beginning, you're scared. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to react. You don't know what questions they might ask. Just ask somebody. Can I go with you? I want to learn how to witness to people. I want to know how to go door knocking. I want to know how to preach on the street. I want to know how to tell somebody how to get saved. Because there's a need out there. And it won't be filled until somebody opens their mouth. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have to do something. God said that He. Let's just read it. I can't quote it in English. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 19, the last part says, He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has committed it to us, the word of reconciliation. He wants us to take this word to the world. He wants us to send someone out there to some other place that they might get the word to the other people. He has committed it to us. So we have to open our mouth. So you need to do something. Maybe just try inviting somebody to church. You know, tell them you'll take them out to eat after church. Or tell them you'll go visit their church someday. I don't know. Find some way. Do something. And you might be amazed how God can meet the need of your neighbor and your coworker and the person across the street if you'll just open your mouth. Maybe you don't have to open it literally and speak. Maybe you just need to give them a tract. Maybe you just need to show them some concern. Do something. Open your mouth, God says. We would like it if we just sat here and magically people just came in the doors. You know, maybe you've never done it, but there are people here that actively invite people to church. Amen. And that's why people show up. I know some people find us through the internet and they find a tract in a field somewhere, but by and large, I think most visitors come because somebody invited them. Someone gave them a tract. Someone preached on the street. Something happened. There was some activity on somebody's part and someone's need was met. Someone printed that gospel tract. Someone did something that track ended up in the middle of that field. I don't know who it was. We may never know. But somebody did something. It didn't just happen by osmosis. Open your mouth, God says. But there's another thing He says here. He says, open your mouth wide. Amen. And we're good at that. We know how to open our mouth wide. And I'm not sure, but I think New Yorkers are even better at it. I was up in New York a few years ago, and I saw the sandwiches those people eat in New York. I'm not sure what they're called, heroes or some strange name. But these, I don't know how they get their mouth around this thing, but they somehow do. We know how to open our mouth wide. We want to feed our belly. But when it comes to opening our mouth for God, when it comes for doing something for God, sometimes we don't have much expectation. You know, Debbie and I had 3 children, and I remember the fun job of feeding them, you know, when you feed them and they just kind of Open their mouth. When they're hungry, man, they want you to put in as much as you can in their mouth, right? And when it's something they didn't really want, it is kind of like, You say, open your mouth, and they just barely open it, like, cram it in there, you know? Why? Well, they didn't want much, anything at all, right? But sometimes that's how we are with working for God. We kind of just, yeah, well, I'll try something, but we don't expect anything to come out of it. There's not much expectation on our part. We think, well, I'll pass out a track or two, you know, and just to say I did it. Hey, how about having some expectation that God can use that track? I mean, maybe you'll pass out 10,000 tracks and not see anything. But hey, those 10,000 tracks are out there. In a field, on a refrigerator, in someone's purse, in someone's pocket, in someone's coat pocket. They're out there. So, if this is the Word of God, why would we be so chintzy and so have such low expectations? We passed a lot of tracks. Man, one time we printed up, I think, half a million tracks in Mexico for one event. It was the soccer tournament, the World Cup soccer thing. We printed ourselves. We printed them. That was a lot of printing. We printed 500,000 tracks. Why? Hey, we thought people are coming from all over the world, all over Latin America. Man, they just get these tracks and they just flood this place with gospel tracks. You know what? Those tracks are out there. Laugh as much as you want, but hey, the Word of God is out there somewhere. You know, there's lots of examples in the Bible. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4. There's some good examples of expectation. 2 Kings chapter 4, we have a woman who is a widow, and she has a need. She has a debt, and she's needing to pay this debt. And so Elisha, he asked her what she has in her house, and she says, I have a pot of oil. This is verse 2. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what hast thou in the house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. How many would you borrow? Because I don't think he said... Let's see, he says here, verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. All he told her. Borrow some pots and pans, borrow some stuff, if it holds water, borrow it. And then pour out of that pot of oil into those vessels. Now, you know the story maybe, and you would probably go out and borrow all you could. If you were that woman, you would probably say, okay, go to one neighbor, get a few, another neighbor, get a few, grab what you got in your backyard, okay, now I can start. But you read what happens to this in this story, and look what it says. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So she borrows a few vessels. I don't know how many, doesn't say. And starts pouring the oil into these vessels. And when she filled the last vessel she had, her pot of oil ran out. Now, if you read this story now, you understand what God says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You cannot open it too wide for God. You cannot expect too much from God. Now, I'm not trying to say you should go out and start claiming some crazy promise and say, I'm going to preach the gospel for 24 hours because 24 people are going to get saved. I'm just saying, when you go out and do something for God, have some expectation in your heart that God can do amazing things. Because it will change the way you do it. Look at Peter. The book of Luke. Getting all tongue-tied here. The book of Luke and chapter 5. This was preached the other night, so if you were here, you'll remember the story. We'll just read verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which were Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And as we heard the other night, the irony here is that Jesus said, let down your nets. And Peter says, okay, Lord, we worked all night. Nothing happened. But say, if you insist, if you say so, we'll let down the net. He didn't open his mouth very wide, did he? In fact, he did what we do sometimes. Yeah, Lord, nothing's happened, but I'll go out again. No, I'll go through the motions. I'll get the tracks out. I'll try to pass out. I'll knock on a few doors, but I know these people, they don't want me. They don't want nothing. They're just too hard, and I'm tired, and nothing's going to happen anyways, but I'll go through the motions. Had Peter opened his mouth wide, I think he would have said, hey, guys, did you hear that? Go get all the ships you can. Get all your nets. And Jesus just told us to let down our nets for a draught. He's saying, look, let down your nets and you're going to catch something. He actually promised them something. And yet, he had little to no expectation. Isn't that how you and I are? Yeah. It'd be great if we could send out more missionaries, but I mean, let's be real. Let's be realistic. Come on. I'd be great, but who? Who could go? We have nobody that could go. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, God said. This church has opened its mouth wide. I cannot accuse this church of being lacking in faith or expectation. Like I said, many churches do nothing at all. But I'm talking to individuals also. Are you opening your mouth wide? Are you doing what you can? Are you expecting God? Or are you so skeptical, realistic, that you just basically go through the motions, open your mouth like a child that doesn't want to eat green peas, and you just kind of, okay, whatever. Hey, God says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And you think about one other example I want to give you. And that is the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, it happened twice. And it's a crazy story, and it just shows how forgetful and how lacking in faith the human being really is. You and I included. Jesus has this crowd of people, and he says, hey, the disciples say, hey, we need to send them home. They're hungry. He said, well, you guys feed them. You guys can do it. We don't have anything. Man, 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't feed these people. He said, well, what do you have? And it turned out they had 5 loaves of bread and they had 2 fish. And how many did they feed, remember? How many? 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Fast forward a few days, It's like Groundhog Day, right? It happens all over again. Another crowd of people, and we need to feed them again. Let's look there. Let's Mark chapter 8. So this is the second time it happened. This is one reason I know the Bible is true. Because this stuff really happens. I mean, God does something, and we say the next time, well, God, what can you do this time? Duh. How about maybe like the same thing, right? But we forget. He really can. He really can heal your marriage. He really can save your kids. He really can revive a church. He really can send another missionary. And we think, no, God, how can this be? Mark chapter 8 and verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 2. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting in their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? We have fewer people. It's a no-brainer now. It's only 4,000. This is saying, Lord, let's go find some more. You fed 5,000 last time. Let's go dig up another 1,000. Maybe 2 or 3. No, they say, what can we do now? We're in a fix. And Jesus, not like me. How many loaves have you? I would have been screaming like I've been screaming for the last half hour. You stupid people. You ignorant, hard-hearted, forgetful. He just says, all right. How many loaves of bread? Let's go through this all over again here. Let's do it again. How many loaves of bread do you have? Come on. Okay, let's do this again. They said, 7. They have more this time. They have more bread. They have fewer people, and they have more bread. And they're like, clueless. What can we do? I have no doubt when this church sent out its first missionary, probably most people thought, whoa, this is big. How in the world can we do this? Month after month after month? A family? I mean, like every month? Like they're going to be depending on us for their support? No, this is too much. We can't do this. And then, yet some people had their mouths open wide, and said, God can do it. Amen. And then God started sending more. And more. And more. And I have no doubts, because I read the Bible and I see that's how people are, that's how we are. I have no doubts that almost every time some people said, whoa, how can we do this? Hey, wake up. God has been doing it all along. I don't know how. No one knows how. But God just keeps doing it. Because that's the God that we serve. He's the one that took us out of Egypt. So it's not a big problem for him to fill the need. The epilogue is that on the first group there was 12 baskets left over. Remember that? On the second group, they had more food, less people, and less left over. Their expectations were so low, God didn't give them as many leftovers. Man, if they had had high expectations, they might be able to feed half the country. But God just kind of said, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. You know, you had a little bit of faith, that's great, but man, I could have done a whole lot more. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, maybe some of us veterans, and I'm not sure I'm a veteran. It sounds strange to call myself a veteran. I don't feel like I've done it that long, but it has been quite a while. Maybe some of us have been slowing down, or maybe some of us don't have the energy anymore. Maybe for different reasons we don't have the same energy to do it like we should, like we wanted to, or like we used to do it. But you know, what's your excuse?
Amen.
You young person, what's your excuse? I don't have any intention on quitting. I've been preaching for, my goodness, over 32 years, and by God's grace, I'll keep going. But regardless, if I have to quit tomorrow because my strength is gone or whatever reason, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, I can't do it. What's your excuse? I want to bring in a couple more things, and please bear with me because I think it's important. I want you to look back at our text, Psalm 81. I'll try to wrap it up with 3 points in a poem. So open your mouth wide. Have some faith. Do something. Have some expectation. But look at what God says after this. Look at verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Have you ever said that to your kids? Come on, you have any kids? Have you ever said, oh, if you just listened. Oh, man, if you're just taking my advice. Now, maybe you don't tell them that every day, and maybe you shouldn't, but you definitely think it, don't you? Come on, don't just say, oh, man, I told them, and if they'd have just done it, why do you do that? I'll tell you why. Because you have a desire for your children to prosper, to make it, to serve the Lord, to have a happy marriage, and to get a good job, and whatever your dreams are. But you say, oh, because you have this desire. It's not because you want to show them how smart you are. It's because you want them to make it. God said it. He said, oh, oh. You know what God's desire is? He wants to fill the need. He wants to send people. You may not want to. You may think it's pretty silly. You may think it's a waste. You may think the missionary just go and have a vacation, and that's fine. You think what you want. I know what God wants. He wants the gospel to go out all over the world. He wants to fill the earth with the gospel. He wants to fill the mailboxes with gospel tracts. He wants Bibles all over the world. He wants the witness to go out over the radio, whatever, any means. Get the gospel out. That's what God wants. And I can just hear God saying, oh, if they just done something, if they opened their mouth, I could have filled it. I could have given them something. Then God say, in Isaiah, whom shall I send? Didn't that show God's desire? Hey, I want to send someone. Who can I send? I want to send someone on a mission. I want to send someone because God wants that. It's His desire. But He also said, open thy mouth wide and I will. That's God's promise, isn't it? I will. He didn't say I might or could or I'd like to. I will. I will fill it. God's word will not return void. Amen. Everything you do for God, for His glory, for His kingdom, to get the gospel out, whatever it may be, whether it's praying, giving, preaching, witnessing, door knocking, newspaper evangelism, whatever it may be, you do it for God. It's not going to come back void. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, I will fill it. You'll even get a reward in heaven. He says that even if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you will in no wise lose your reward. Think about that. Just a cup of cold water? If that's the case, turn on the hose, man. I mean, come on. Don't just be giving out these little cups of water. I mean, get in on the action. God says even a cup of cold water is not going to be forgotten. You've got His promise on it. Yes. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen. And then He says, I'll fill it. He didn't say, I'll give you a bite. He didn't say, I'll give you a little taste. I will fill your mouth. I will fill the need. God just likes doing that. I mean, He fills the sky with stars, and He fills the field with wildflowers, and the planet with animals, and all these, the variety of it. God fills. He doesn't just do things on a small scale. So, if the conditions are met, the degree of God's supply, oh man, it is better than the best stock out there. It is better than the best Forbes company you can invest in, because God says, I will fill it. Doesn't it say He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? So, the question is, are you opening your mouth? Are you opening it wide? Are you trying to get in on the action so that God can use you to fulfill the need to get the gospel to somebody in this world, in your world, in my world, wherever? Just use your imagination and open your mouth wide. God promises He'll fill it. Now, if you're lost and you have no idea what in the world I'm talking about, I have one more thing to tell you. If you're without a hope and assurance of salvation, and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity after you die, that means that more than likely you're headed for hell because of your sin and your rebellion. But I have good news. God said, open your mouth and He'll fill it. If you'll open your mouth and just tell God who you are, He knows it already. Admit your sin to God. Call upon His name. Ask Him for His mercy. Believe on His name. Ask Him to save you. Guess what? He will. He will fill your heart with joy and forgiveness and give you everlasting life. That's just what God does. So, regardless, open your mouth wide. Amen.
Amen.